The visit of Pope Benedict XVI in the United States is extraordinary. It amazes me how a person his age can accomplish so much in so short a time. In Washington, he meets with national and international government officials, including President Bush. He meets with about 350 United States bishops. He meets with heads of more than 200 United States Catholic colleges and universities, and school superintendents from the United States dioceses. He's scheduled to meet with Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, and representatives of other religions. In New York, he meets with representatives from other Christian denominations. He will pray with priests, deacons, and members of religious orders. He will meet with disabled youth, with hundreds of seminarians, and several thousand young people. He will visit Ground Zero. In between these encounters, he will celebrate two solemn masses with thousands of people. In the midst of all this, he celebrates his 81st birthday and observes the third anniversary of his election as our Pope. I have had the opportunity to be in the presence of this Pope once, and a dozen or so times while he was still prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. As many people know, every fifth year bishops are scheduled to report to the Holy See, to the Holy Father, and to the congregations and pontifical councils at the Vatican. Hands down, every bishop I know will tell you that next to the visit to the Holy Father, of all the congregations and offices, the visit with Cardinal Ratzinger was the most receptive, productive, informative, and supportive. One would never have had that impression from the caricature of the Cardinal offered by most of the media of those times. As prefect, Cardinal Ratzinger and the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith was charged with the responsibility to promote the teaching of the Church in its totality and to defend it when it was perceived necessary. The Cardinal carried out his charge whether it was popular to do so or not. I think people forget about the fact that if Church doctrine handed down through the ages shifted with the intellectual tides of every age, we would no longer have the Catholic faith, and there would be no Catholic Church. I guess it's apparent that I am unashamedly a disciple of Pope Benedict, as I was when he was prefect in charge of doctrine. By God's grace, he has been a blessing for our Church. He is unrivaled as an astute and balanced theologian. I have little patience with his critics who often enough have never read his writings. Pope Benedict is a person who knows how to speak the truth with love. In my dozen or so encounters with him, I found him to be engaging, humble, and serene. Several times I met him on the streets, on his way to or from a bookstore in Rome. He wore a simple black cassock. He stopped to visit for a few minutes. He had a phenomenal memory for names. While a lover of the tradition and heritage of our Church, Pope Benedict is thoroughly committed to the complete implementation of the Second Vatican Council. He knows the origins and development of the teachings in the documents of the Council because he was there, and in fact, he had a direct hand in crafting several of them. One time, I asked Pope John Paul II what he thought would be the major accomplishment during his papacy. Without hesitation, he said, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The then Cardinal Ratzinger was the major producer of that extraordinary compendium of our faith. The cardinal once remarked that he initially wasn't sure developing a contemporary catechism could really be accomplished satisfactorily. He got it done. As chairman of our bishop's committee overseeing the use of the catechism in the United States, I had the opportunity to meet with Cardinal Ratzinger. It was then that I first saw him in the role of eloquent spokesperson of our church, engaging in dialogue with the contemporary secular culture. He had a grasp of, and continues to grasp, the large global perspective needed to do so. Pope Benedict is a timely international leader to carry forward a major thrust of the teaching of Pope John Paul II. Our present Holy Father is a profound exponent of the complementarity of faith and reason in a society that wants to relegate God and religion to the private sector as if they are irrelevant. He is an ardent champion for the dignity of human life. The Holy Father is a perennial teacher. Some of his writings require work in following his penchant to lay the groundwork for a major teaching. But perseverance is rewarded by a refreshing spiritual and pastoral outcome. Pope Benedict is a sensitive man who is both sophisticated and simple. He is a holy, gentle man.